So I wanted to, again, we're just discussing various sugyas that come up in Maseches Pesachim. So one of the sugyas that came up recently, that again, we're trying to stay away from Pesach sugyas, meaning sugyas that are directly related to Pesach. Maybe we'll get to those a little bit later on in the year. But one gemara that came up recently, not so recently anymore, it's already over a week and a half, but on Daf Nun Gimel, the Gemara spoke about a certain personality, Todos Ish Romi. And the Gemara said that Todos Ish Romi, Hin Higes Bnei Romi Lechol Gediyim Mekulasin. He got the people of Rome to eat on the night of the Seder Gediyim Mekulasin. Gediyim Mekulas is literally translated as a helmeted goat. It's the way they would make the Korban Pesach. They would make Korban Pesach by sticking the whole animal without cutting it up, the entire animal on a spit, and roasting the entire animal over an open fire. And it's called Mekulas because according to one of the Shittos in Tanaim, they would take the insides of the animal and put it over the head of the animal on the spit. So it looked like the animal was wearing a helmet, so to speak. So we, the Gemara says, do whatever we can to stay away from eating anything that looks like it might be a Korban Pesach on the night of the Seder, because we don't want it to give the appearance that we're makdish something as Korban Pesach nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have any kodshim. So we stay away from it. But this Todos Ish Romi fellow was Manig Bnei Romi. He would tell people in Rome to eat this on the night of the Seder, and the Chachamim sent him a letter, and they said to him, if it weren't for the fact that you are who you are, Il Mole Todos Hatov, not for the fact that you were Todos, Gazanu Alecha Nidoi, we would put you in Cherim, because you are being Machil Kachim Bachutz, you're telling them to eat something that looks very much like Kachim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, very bad idea. You're lucky you are who you are.
These are all Yidden.
What?
These are all Yidden.
Yeah. Todos Ish Romi is a Jew. Absolutely. So the Gemara says, what do you mean if you weren't who you were? The Gemara tries to, who was he? Right? Who is he? So the Gemara says, and this is the first source in the packet over here, the Gemara says, let's think about this. Who is this guy? Ibayilahu. Todos Ish Romi Gavar Rabba Hava or Bala Gropen Hava? Meaning that statement, if you weren't who you are, could have meant two things. It could have meant, if you weren't such an important Talmud Chacham, we would put you in Cherem, but because you're such an important Talmud Chacham, you're entitled to your opinion and we're not going to bother you. Or it could have meant, you're nobody in terms of being a Talmud Chacham, but you're a very powerful person, and we're not willing to start up with such a powerful person. Bala Grofen, you're someone who could hurt us, who could harm us in some way. So the Gemara wants to know, which was he? We don't hear much about this fellow. So was he a Talmud Chacham, or was he a Bala Grofen? So says the Gemara, Tashma, we'll bring a raya that he was a Talmud Chacham. Odzu Darash Todos Ish Romi. Todos Ish Romi taught us something else also, in addition to telling the people in Rome to have a Gedima Kulas. What did he teach us? What was his brilliant wisdom that Todos Ish Romi taught us? Ma ro'u Chananya Mishael v'Azaria shemosar atzman al kedushas Hashem l'kivshon ha'eish. He said, what motivated Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah to be moser nefesh, to give up their lives by being thrown in a kivshan ha'esh, or to be willing to give up their lives by being thrown in a kivshan ha'esh? Nasu kal v'chomer bi'atzman mitzvar de'in. They made a kal v'chomer from the tzvardeya in Mitzrayim, from the frogs, or whatever you want, or whatever kinds of reptiles they were, in Mitzrayim. Umat tzvardim, shein mitzuvin al kedushas Hashem. If by the frogs, by the tzvardim, they have no mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, and still ksivbuhu bo v'alub v'secha ubitanu recha ubimisharu secha, they still were willing to jump into the ovens and into the dough. So the Gemara says, emasay misharus mitzuyas eitzel tanur. When is the dough right next to the oven? Havyomer b'shal shatanur cham. That's when the oven is hot and the dough is ready to go into the oven. And frogs were jumping into an oven that was on. So Chananya, Mishael, v'Azaria said, "Anu shemitzuvin al kedushas Hashem, we who are commanded on kiddush Hashem, alachas kama v'kama. All the more so, we have to be willing to be thrown into a kivshan ha'esh for the sake of kiddush Hashem, because we were actually mitzuva in kiddush Hashem. So that kal v'chomer that went through Chananya, Mishael, v'Azaria's mind is what Todos Ish Romi taught us. So Gemara says, don't you see? That's not just a strong man. That's a Talmud Chacham that he comes up with such a kal v'chomer. Now the first time we read this Gemara, I wasn't sure if the Gemara was which way the Gemara was proving. I thought maybe the Gemara was proving the other way. What kind of Kalva Chomer is that? What kind of ridiculous Kalva Chomer? Seems like a very strange Kalva Chomer. I thought it was trying to prove that he was a Stama guy. But no, the Gemara is trying to prove that he's a Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara says the next line. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi bar Rav Namar, Matil Mila Lekishta Talmidei Chacham Haya. He was someone who supported Talmidei Chachamim as well. Dam Rabbi Yochanan called Matil Mila Lekishta Talmidei Chachamim Zoch V'Yibi Yosef B'Yeshiva Shalmaila. So he had tremendous Sukhiyos. He's going to sit in the Yeshiva Shalmaila because he supported Talmidei Chachamim. So apparently the Gemara looks favorably at this drasha, this Kal V'Chomer from the Tzvardeya. So the Rishonim right away are bothered by how to understand this drasha, that it's Ki'ilu Todos Yishromi had this major kasha on Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria. Why would they go into the Kivshan Ha'esh? And then he came up with the Steretz because they learned it from the Tzvardeya. So the truth is, there are a lot of ways you can go with this in terms of analyzing the Kal V'Chomer and the whole thought process. One way, you know, one fundamental question that when we said it in the Daf Yomi Shir, I didn't answer it, and I'm still not sure I'm satisfied with any of the answers, is even if the thought went through Hanani Mishael Vazaria's mind, where would I learn that I'm supposed to go into a Kivshan Ha'esh in order to make a Kiddush Hashem? Why would their mind go back to Tzvardeya, of all things? Are there no great Jews in history who went into a Kivshan Ha'esh al Kiddush Hashem? Avram Avinu, perhaps, right? Why would they think about the Tzvardeya rather than think about Avram Avinu? Very, very strange that that's what they would associate, the Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so maybe by Avram Avinu they didn't have a Kal V'Chomer. They thought that Avram Avinu maybe was Metzuvah in Kiddush Hashem, but still, very unusual. And also, to say that the frogs were not Metzuvah, what does it mean? The frogs were not Metzuvah in Kiddush Hashem, and they did it anyway. They didn't have to go into the oven. They didn't? When Hashem makes a makkah and he says, okay, now frogs attack everywhere, ovens, bed, you know, frogs on his head, frogs on his toes, frogs on his head, everywhere. So doesn't that mean that they're mitzvah? What does it mean they're not mitzvah? So some of the Yacharim say, no, they didn't have to be the frog that went into the oven. They could have been the frogs on his head. They could have, and the fact that any of the frogs chose to be the ones that go in the oven, That actually, whether you can say such a svara, is really a machlokas rishonim. In machlokas rishonim, in how to understand the punishment that Paro and Mitzrayim got for what they did to the Jewish people over the years of Shibud. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. Why did they get punished? Hashem made a gezera that we had to be in Galus for 400 years, so they just did the will of God. Why would they get punished? So it's machlokas Rambam and the Rebbe. It's machlokas Rishonim. Some say, I forget who says what already, but some say that the reason that Paro was punished was that, yeah, there was a gzeira that Klal Yisrael had to be in Galus. I think the Rambam says this, that Klal Yisrael had to be in Galus, but he didn't have to be the one to put them in Galus. Let it be some other king. There will always be another anti-Semite. Why does he have to be the one that puts them in Galus? And the Rebbe says, what kind of svar is that? Somebody had to be the one, because Hashem made this gezeira. So because he chose to be the one that fulfills the decree of Hashem, he gets punished? Somebody had to be the one. You couldn't pin it on the next guy? Someone had to be it. So the rabbi says, no, it was because he overdid it. He was much meaner to us than he really had to be. And that's why or he took joy in it, or whatever, something like that. So maybe that's a similar idea over here, that can you say such a svara? Why did I have to be the frog? Why did this frog have to be the one to jump in the oven? Maybe that's Machlokes Rishonim, whether you can say such a svara. Somebody had to be the frog that jumped into the oven. So that's considered that they're mitzvah. But I really want to go in a completely different direction over here, and I want to focus on what the Rishonim really focus on. The Rishonim don't focus that much on the questions that I just raised. What they focus on is the question of that went through Hanani Mishael Vazaria's mind. I mean, Talos Yishromi is projecting that Hanani Mishael Vazaria were struggling. Why in the world would we jump into the Kivshan Ha'esh? Meaning, they thought that they shouldn't at first. Until the Tzvardim educated them, they thought that they shouldn't. What made them think that they shouldn't? That they shouldn't be Moser Nefesh? How many Jews in Jewish history were Moser Nefesh? It's like in our genes. What made them think that they should not be Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem? So Rashi writes, on the spot, Ma Ra'u, so says Rashi, source number two, Shelo Dorshu V'chai Behen V'lo She'yamos Behen. Meaning, they thought, the Torah says V'chai Behen, you have to live with the mitzvot of the Torah, you're not supposed to give up your life from the mitzvahs of the Torah, with certain exceptions. So they thought, based on V'chai Behen, they shouldn't go in. But it's only because of the Kiddush Hashem that they learned from the Tzvardim that they decided to go against V'chai Behen. Says Tosfos, wait a second. V'chai Behen applies over here? Why were they thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh? What did they refuse to do? the story with Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah is that they wouldn't bow to the Andarta Shel Melech. There was some sort of statue, some sort of Avodah Zarah. They refused to bow to it. So when it comes to the Yisra of Avodah Zarah, there's no V'chai Behem. When it comes to the Yisra of Avodah Zarah, it's Yahari Val Yafar. You have to give up your life rather than to bow. So what's their Havamina? Not to go into the oven. They never should have had a thought not to go into the oven. It's an issue of Avodah Zarah. If you look at Tosfos, Maro Chanani Mishal Vazariah, source number 3, Pirish HaKuntras, Ma Ra'u Shalo Dorshu V'chai Behem V'lo Shiyamas Behem V'kasha Da B'farhes Yahava. What do you mean? First of all, says Tosfos, this was public. Even if this wasn't Avodah Zarah, and on any mitzvah, if it's something that's public, you have to give up your life for it. And this was a very public spectacle. So of course they would give up their life. There's no V'chai Behem over here. So says Tosfos, two ideas. Idea number one is Rabbeinu Tam. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, did Selim Zeh, Sha'asa Nebuchadnezzar, Lav Avodah Zarah Hava. This thing that Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow to was not an Avodah Zarah. Not every statue is an idol. It was a statue. Ela Indarta Sha'asa L'Kavod Atzmo, a statue that he made for his own kavod, for his own honor. And he wanted them to bow as a sign of respect, not as a sign of worship. It wasn't an Avodah Zarah. Ulkach Kamar Ma'ra'u, that's the Ma'ra'u. What's the Isser already? That they're showing kavod to the Melech? You're allowed to show kavod to the Melech. What's the terrible Isser? There's no terrible Isser. So Ma'ra'u, why would they give up their lives for something that's not even really an Isser? V'chein mashma midichsiv le'elohecha lesanach napalchin ul'tselem didahava lo niskod. That they said two things. We're not going to worship your God, and we're not going to bow to your golden image. Mashma da'Allah di David Salma tremilin inu. Sounds like the God and the golden image are two different things. This was not a God. This fits very well with the Gemara says in Ksuvus. The Gemara in Ksuvus says that if they would have been threatened with a beating rather than being threatened with getting killed, they probably would have bowed. They would not have given up. They would not have been willing to go through a beating, because a beating is much more painful sometimes than getting killed. So what do you mean? But if it was Avodah Zarah, they would not have been willing to suffer a beating to avoid Avodah Zarah? No, of course they would have. Avodah Zarah, have a chas v'shalom shay mishtach v'mlau. No, if this was Avodah Zarah, even if threatened with a beating, they were not going to bow to Avodah Zarah. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam. That's Rabbeinu Tam's approach. So this was not an Isser. It wasn't Avodah Zarah. It was a statue, a way of showing kavod. Says the Ri, a different pshat. V'ri mefarish, ma ra'u shalo baruchu. The question wasn't, why were they, we were bothered. What was their havamina to not go into the fire? So says the Ri, the havamina not to go into the fire was very simple. The havamina would have been to run away before it ever got to that point. Meaning, there was a moment in time before that moment of truth came where they were either going to get thrown in a fire or bow. Knowing that this was coming up, that this was going to happen, they could have run away earlier and saved their lives and still not had to bow because they would have run away. So that was the question. Maro, why did they wait for the moment to happen and then have to put themselves in a position where they have to go into the fire just to avoid the whole thing entirely? Just avoid the whole situation. Who wants that situation? Why would you create a situation like that for yourself? So that's how the Ri understands. So again, two real basic approaches. Rashi's Ma'ra'u, why didn't they darshan V'chai Behem? And Tosfos understands that, the Rabbeinu Tam understands, that V'chai Behem would apply over here because this was not Avodah Zarah. This wasn't even a real Isser B'farhesia. And the Ri saying, no, not why didn't they darshan V'chai Behem? Why didn't they run away? Now, in order to understand both of these shittos and what they might be arguing about, let's take a step back. Let's say you have a situation where you don't have to give up your life. Someone says, wear shatness or I'm going to kill you. So the halacha is, or any mitzvah other than the big three, and anything other than Avodah Zarah, Gilui HaRayos, and Shlichus Damim, right? Anything other than those three, perhaps Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, according to Tosfos Masechta Sota, embarrassing somebody publicly is also Yaharig Val Yavar. But outside of those, perhaps according to Baby Rashi and Baba Kama, stealing. But basically, there are very few Averos that are actually Yaharig Val Yavar. Any other issue? So take Shatnez. Someone says, if you don't wear Shatnez, I'm going to put a bullet through your head. So what's the halacha? You wear the Shatnez, right? You don't take the bullet. What if you decide that you're going to take the bullet? Are you allowed to be machmir to decide to give up your life for the sake of not having to, of avoiding the Avera? There are people that, it sounds crazy, right? But there are people that do this all the time. There are people that are told by their doctors, you must eat on Yom Kippur. It's going to be sakanas nefashos. And there are people who can't bring themselves to do it. They want to be machmir on themselves to not eat on Yom Kippur, and they're putting lives in. It's the wrong halacha, right? They're not supposed to do that. So that's what the line they quote from Reb Chaim is, that they say that people think that I'm a mekel on the dinim of fasting in Yom Kippur. I'm a machmir in pikuach nefesh. I'm just being machmir in the value of people's lives. But is one allowed to be machmir? I just saw Shaila tonight. The Minchas Yitzchak was asked about a fellow whose brothers died on account of having a bris milah, hemophiliac, something, some sort of disease that genetically people from his family died from having a bris milah. So this person did not have a bris milah. So the shaila was, let's say he wants to be machmer himself, he wants to have a bris milah anyway. So is he allowed to be machmer himself to have a bris milah? Is that permissible to be machmer himself to have a bris milah? So that probably relates very much to this issue. Can you be machmir when you're not mechuyev to be machmir? So Tosos Maseches Avodah Zarah writes, we're not going to see everything inside, but Tosos Maseches Avodah Zarah writes very, very clearly that you want to be machmir and create a bigger Kiddush Hashem, wonderful. If you're up to the task, there's nothing wrong with that, that's great. But the Rambam takes a very different approach to that question. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perikei Halacha Dalid, you see it in source number 7, Kol mi shenomer bo yavar val yaharig, any avera that you have, any situation that you have, where the halacha is that you're supposed to do the avera rather than get killed, v'neherag v'lo avar, but the person chose to get killed, harei zeh mischayev b'nafsho. So he's chayev his own life. It's as if he murdered himself, as if he committed suicide. Terrible thing to do. When the halacha says, don't give up your life, don't give up your life. So fundamental machlokas rishonim. Is it permissible to be extra machmir to give up your life? Tosfos, yes, it's permissible. The Rambam, no, it's not permissible. Now, so what have we learned to this point? We've learned two separate machlokas in the rishonim. On the one hand, we have a machlokas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, meaning Rabbeinu Tam who holds that the case of Nebuchadnezzar was just a statue, that it wasn't an actual Isra, it wasn't an actual Avodah Zarah. And we have the Shita of, let's just leave Rabbeinu Tam for now. Good? So now, this Machlokas, Rambam and Tosfos, does Rabbeinu Tam have to hold one way or the other in this Machlokas? So if we think about it, what happened with Hanani Mishael Azariah? According to Rabbeinu Tam, there was no real Avodah Zarah there, right? Whatever they were doing was not Avodah Zarah. And that's why their Havamina was not to go into the fire. Their Maskana was that they went into the fire, though. At the end of the day, they were willing to give up their lives. And what do we say they're crazy people who committed suicide? No, what do we say? They're heroes, that they're willing to go into the fire. But wait a second. According to the Rambam, they're suicidal. They're not heroes. If you assume the story happened the way Rabbeinu Tam assumes, that it wasn't Avodah Zarah, so then why in the world would their Maskana be to give up their lives? It must be that Rabbeinu Tam holds like Tosfos, that even when you don't have to give up your life, if you choose to give up your life, you're doing a wonderful thing, it's a great chumrah. And that's why we hold them up as heroes. So the pashtus is, Rabbeinu Tam is like Tosfos. Otherwise, Hanani Mishael Azariah would have been doing something terribly wrong by refusing to bow to a statue and instead giving up their lives. However, although that's the pashtus, the Mishael HaMelech points out that maybe, even Tosfos, who allows you to be machmir, maybe even Tosfos only allows being machmir when the guy that's forcing you to do it is religiously motivated. He wants you to do it because he wants lahaviro aldaso. He wants you to give up an important tenet of your religion. That's when he's telling you, he didn't just come up with shatness. He doesn't care if you wear this suit or not, but he wants you to violate the iser shatness. So he holds a gun to your head and says, put on this shatness or I'm going to kill you. Why is he telling me to put on shatness? Because he wants me to violate an iser. So do I have to give up my life? No. That's where Tosfos is going to say, but if I want to, I can. But let's say the guy has no interest in causing me to violate an iser. It just benefits him, for whatever reason, for me to do a certain avera. It gives him kavod. It's la'anas atzmo. He's nevuchadnezzar, and he feels good when you bow to the image of him. Not because he's trying to get you to deny God. Believe in whatever you want. Worship whatever you want. I just want the honor. I want you to bow to me. I want to receive that kind of honor. Then even the Balei Tosfos would say, says the Mishnah Lemelech, that one is not allowed to be machmir. Now, if that's the case, we just put Rabbeinu Tam into big trouble. Because what did we say? Rabbeinu Tam originally didn't fit with the Rambam, because Rabbeinu Tam said it wasn't Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says, if it's not Avodah Zarah, then it's suicidal to jump into the fire. Yep, Chanani Mishol Vazari jumped into the fire. Oh, but Rabbeinu Tam holds like Tosos, that it's not suicidal, it's heroism. You're a hero if you jump into the fire. So we thought Rabbeinu Tam was great, as long as he lines up with Tosos. But now, according to the Mishnah Melech's understanding of Tosos, even Tosfos would agree that it's suicidal to go into the fire when the guy's kavana is la'anos atzmos, for his own benefit. And Nebuchadnezzar's kavana, according to Rabbeinu Tam, was for his own benefit. So Rabbeinu Tam is against everybody. He's against the Rambam and he's against Tosfos. So now what? Now what do we do with Rabbeinu Tam? So in order to explain Rabbeinu Tam, there are two basic approaches in Rishon. The Shita Mekubetzas in Maseches Ksuvos quotes from the Ra'ah that the situation was not so clear-cut with Nebuchadnezzar. He had some sort of statue that he wanted them to bow to, and it was, like Rabbeinu Tam said, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. But that mitzius, that fact that it wasn't Avodah Zarah, was not so clear to everybody. There were plenty of Jews that thought that it was Avodah Zarah. Because of that, it could be, says the Ra'ah, even the Rambam would agree that you're allowed to be Moser Nefesh. Meaning, it's true. Only legitimate Avodah Zarah, you're chayev to give up your life for. Avodah Zarah, Gilur HaShulchan, it's real Avodah Zarah. If it's any other Aver in the Torah, the Rambam would hold, you're not allowed to give up your life. But what if it's something that the perception is that it's Avodah Zarah? It's not actually Avodah Zarah, people perceive it as Avodah Zarah. Maybe in that case, the Rambam would agree, you're not mechayev to give up your life because it's not Avodah Zarah, but maybe because there's such a perception that it's Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to give up your life.
And the receivers are the onlookers?
What?
Not Hanani Mishal Vazariah, meaning...
Right, other members of Klal Yisrael. Hanani Mishal Vazariah knew that it wasn't Avodah Zarah, but other people thought it was. Now, why does that make any sense? The fact that there's some guy who doesn't know what an Avodah Zarah looks like makes it that my halacha changes? I know it's not Avodah Zarah. So now I'm allowed to be Moser Nefesh? This is what the Ra'ah says, though. So why does that make any sense? Okay, let's put that question on the back burner. We're going to come back to it. Nemukah Yosef says, a different part. Very similar, though. It's true. The Rambam holds it's suicide to give up your life when you don't have to. But if you're an Adam Gadol, then it's different. If you're an Adam Gadol, then you're allowed to give up your life even when you don't have to. It's all here. Nemukah Yosef is in here also. I'm just not going to read all of them inside. Right? But it's all here. If you're an Adam Gadol, you're allowed to give up your life, even when it's not one of the big three. And that's what Hanani Mishal Vazariah, that's the cheshbon they made. They said, oh my gosh, we're an Adam Gadol. We're leaders of the Jewish people, so we're allowed to give up our life for something that's not Avodah Zarah. But again, the question begs itself, same kashiyav on the Ra'ah. It's a little bit of a different guy, but the same idea. Why does being an Adam Gadol make a difference? If I'm a gadol, do I have to wear tefillin? Yes. If I'm a katan, do I have to? You know, if I'm not an adam gadol, I'm an over bar mitzvah regular guy. Do I have to put on tefillin? Yes. Where do we have mitzvahs that are only shaykh for an adam gadol? That's one of the beautiful things about Judaism. That no matter who you are, you're chayiv in tarig mitzvahs and you're chayiv in talmud torah and you're chayiv in all, you're chayiv in everything. So what does it mean adam gadol? An adam gadol has different halachos. So very difficult to understand. Now, that's to explain Rabbeinu Tam. Now, let's take a look at the Ri for a second. What did the Ri say? So, the Ri said that the struggle Hanani Mishael Vazaria had was they should have run away. Right? Their first thought was maybe we should have run away. The Kasha told the Sishromi says, Ma ro Hanani Mishael Vazaria, why didn't they run away before the situation arose? Why would you put yourself in a situation where you have to make such a horrible choice of either bowing or going into the fire? Just of either bowing to Avodah Zarah, the reheld was Avodah Zarah, of either bowing to Avodah Zarah, going into the fire, just run away, just get out of there. Now, the Re said, they chose not to run away. Right? Are you allowed to choose not to run away? I mean, you know that someone's coming and he's going to take out an Avodah Zarah, and he's going to say, you batter this or I kill you. But you know that you have time to escape. So, Pashas, you're definitely allowed to escape, right? Are you allowed not to escape? Are you allowed to stay and wait for that situation to come up and then give up your life? So the Re assumes, well, of course you're allowed to. That's what Hanani Mishael Vazari did. They chose not to run away because of this Kal V'chomer they learned from Tzvardeya, and they decided to confront the situation. The Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Shvus Yaakov that disagrees with Tosfos, that disagrees with the Re. Pischei Tshuva quotes from Shvus Yaakov that if you have the ability to run away, it's suicide not to run away. You're not allowed to just, even if you're, the halacha is, of course the halacha is that when you're faced with a situation of Avodah Zarah or death, you have to choose death. But if you're faced with a third choice of neither Avodah Zarah nor death, of course you choose the situation of neither Avodah Zarah nor death. Just run away. What's that machlokas about? What are they arguing about, whether you're have to run away or don't have to run away? So Rav Asher Weiss has, I think, what's a brilliant approach. And this will go back to explain all our kashas on Rabbi Matam and everything, the Re, I think it will help really crystallize the entire sugya. Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher and Shemos and Simon Yud Gimel has the following approach. There is a Gemara Masech Sanhedrin, the number one sugya in Yehari Gal Yavr. There are a few sugyas in Shas about Yehari Gal Yavr. Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalid. It's one of the big sugyas in Shas about Yehari Gal Yavr. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalid posits the idea that whenever something is bifarhesio, whenever it's a very public thing, you have to give up your life, even if it's on something small, even if it's not one of the big three averos. If it's very public, you have to give up your life. So asks the Gemara, v'ha Esther farhesia havi, when Esther was taken by Achashverosh, that was very public. All the Rishonim are bothered, the Gemara should have asked better. Right, what should the Gemara have asked? V'ha Esther gila erayos hava. She should have had to give up her life because it was gila. That's not what the Gemara asked though. The Gemara asked, Esther, Farhes Yavi, even if it's not Gilei Arayos, whatever it was Farhes, it was public, how could she not give up her life? How could she allow herself to be taken? So the Gemara says, two possible answers. Either Karka Olam, she was completely passive, and even when it's public and you have to give up your life, if you could be passive in the violation of the Isur, you're allowed to do that and survive. Or Hana'as Atzman Shaini. Achashverosh wasn't taking Esther because he wanted her to become less religious. He was taking her because he wanted to satisfy his own desires. For his own hana'a, even if it's very public, it's okay. So now, what does that mean? For your own, when the guy is doing it for his own hana'a, then you don't have to give up your life. The Gemara said that in the context of when it's something public. Right? Normally something public. Shotness publicly? I have to give up my life for it. But if the guy's only making me do it because for his own hana, then I don't have to give up my life for it. That's what the Gemara says. What if it's Gilei Arayos? What if the reason I have to give up my life for it is not because it's Farhesia, but because it's Gilei Arayos? It's Avodah Zarah, it's Shvichus Damin. Would Hana'as Atzmo save me? If someone is making me do Gilei Arayos because he benefits from it, someone's making me do Shvichus Damin, not because he wants me to do an Avera, but because he benefits from it. It's his own Hana'a. Am I allowed to do it now? So the Baal Amar says, yeah. As long as it's for Hana'as Atzmo, it's for his own benefit, all bets are off, you're allowed to do whatever you want. The Ramban, in the Milchamos on the bottom of the Rif, disagrees with the Baal Amar. He says, no. Hana'as Atzmo works when the problem was Farhesia. It was a big public thing. Okay, if it's only for Hana'as Atzmo, you don't have to give up your life. But when the problem is Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shvichus Damim, Hana'as Atzmo is not going to help you. Why? Meaning, take for granted that what the Gemara says to us, that Avodah Zarah Gilui Rashi is done Marol Yaharik Val Yavar, and anything for Hesia is Yaharik Val Yavar. So shouldn't the rules be the same for Avodah Zarah Gilui Rashi and anything else that's for Hesia? They're all Yaharik Val Yavar, right? So the rules should be the same for all of them. But the Ramban says, no, when it comes to Avodah Zarah Gilui Rashi Chazdamim, if he's doing it for Anas Atzmo, it's still Yaharik Val Yavar. When it comes to Farhesia, other Avodah Farhesia, if he's doing it for Anas Atzmo, then you're off the hook. You don't have to give up your life. Why? They're all Yaharik Val Yavar. So the Achronim point out, and Rav Asher clarifies this point, that we really need to ask a much more basic question, something much more fundamental than anything we've discussed tonight. We all came into this shiur knowing that Avodah Zarah Gilui Rashi Chazdamim are Yaharik Val Yavar, that there are three big cardinal sins that you have to give up your life for. Why? Why do you have to give up your life for those sins? Okay, so the Gemara tells us how we know it, where we learn it from. Shvi Chazdamim is a svara who says his blood is redder than mine, my blood is redder than his. We don't know, I can't make such decisions. And we compare Gilui Arayis to Shvi Chazdamim. Okay, we have sources, but why? What's the underlying principle? Why is it that my life is less valuable than these three averas? So there are two possible, there may be more than two, but two basic approaches that the Rishonim may be arguing about. One might argue that, well, these, if, you know, there are a lot of averas, some of them are bad, some of them are very bad, and some of them are super very bad. And these are the super very bad ones. These are the worst. It's the Chomer HaIsur. They're so, so terrible that they're worth more than our lives. That's what it is about these Isurim. The other approach is, no. There's nothing so terrible, more terrible about these Isurim in terms of the Avera that you're doing than, let's say, Chil Shabbos, which you don't have to give up your life for. Chil Shabbos gets Skila. It's not about the Chomer HaIsur. You know why you have to give up your life? It's because of Chilul Hashem. That when you do these things, it's the ultimate Chilul Hashem, and there's really only one thing you have to give up your life. You have to love Hashem with all your soul, b'chol nafshecha. And what creates a sense of Chilul Hashem overpowers the value of human life. That's the one and only rule. Chilul Hashem is what we have to give up our lives for. These averos carry with it a certain sense of Chilul Hashem that other averos do not. The Baal Amar said, now let's plug it back in, the Baal Amar said that when the guy is doing it Lahanas Atzmo, that allows you to do an avera b'farhesia rather than give up your life, it also allows you to violate Gilui Arayos rather than give up your life, and Avodah Zarah rather than give up your life, and Shvi'ch Dam rather than give up your life. When he's doing it lanas atzma, why? Because it must be. Is the avera any less of an avera when the guy is doing it lanas atzma? If he tells me about avodah zara, does it matter what he's thinking in terms of the maisa avera that I'm doing when I bow? Does his mind frame make any difference in terms of how bad of an avera it is? Makes absolutely no difference. Same avera. It's the same avodah zara. It's the same gilui arayos. Same shvi'ch dam. The shvi'ch dam is a better example. I'm killing somebody. Why the guy is forcing me to kill somebody? Does it matter? I'm killing somebody. I'm doing this horrible avera. But what does matter? Why does his mindset make a difference? Not on the strictness of the avera. His mindset makes a difference for the Chilul Hashem Shabbat. That if he's doing this because he wants me to go against Hashem, then it's a terrible Chilul Hashem to cave to that. But if he's doing it l'hanas atzmo, it's not as bad a Chilul Hashem to cave from. So the Baal Amar will say that it's all about Chilul Hashem. Everything is about Chilul Hashem. The reason that the big three are Yaharik Val Yavar is not because they're any worse than Chilul Shabbos. It's because these are the biggest Chilul Hashems. And therefore when he's doing it L'Anas HaAtzmo, not such a bad Chilul Hashem, it's no longer Yaharik Val Yavar. It seems that the Rambam understood this way as well. Because the Rambam, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when he talks about the three that are Yaharik Val Yavar, he starts the conversation by saying, Kol Beis Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem hagadol hazeh shenemar v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Then he goes on to describe the Yahrig Val Yavars, all associated with v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, because it's all about kiddush Hashem versus chilul Hashem. The Ramban, what did the Ramban say? That if the issue was farhesia, that we're shotten as publicly as Yahrig Val Yavar. But if the guy's doing it lanos atzmo, that's mutter. But the big three? I don't care if he's doing it lanos atzmo, it's still us, so you still have to give up your life for it. Why? Why is there a difference between farhesia versus the big three? Because the big three, what makes them Yahrig Val Yavar, is not the chilul Hashem. What makes them Yahrig Val Yavar is that these are the worst yisurim in the world. It's as bad as an isur could ever be. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether he's doing a lanas atzmo or not. These yisurim are terrible. You can't do them. You have to give up your life. Farhesia, why is it that shatness befarhesia is Yahrig Val Yavar? Because shatness is so terrible? No, it's clearly because it's farhesia, it's greater chilul Hashem. So as soon as it's lanas atzmo, that removes the chilul Hashem. So says Rav Asher, you're faced with the situation, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, know that they're, if they stay around, they're going to be faced with a choice of bowing to Avodah Zarah or getting thrown into a fire, getting killed. But they have a third choice. They could run away. Are they mechuyev to run away? So says Rav Asher Weiss, the Ramban would say they're absolutely mechuyev to run away, because the whole reason you have to give up your life is because you're faced with this horrible choice of violating this terrible Aveira, of Avodah Zarah, or getting killed. And we don't like that when people get killed. That's a bad thing. So if you could avoid it, of course you should avoid it. Get out of there. And if you don't avoid it, and you could have avoided it, suicidal, terrible thing to do. You have to avoid it. But maybe the Baal Amor would say that you're allowed to stay. Why? Because the whole reason that you have to give up your life for Avodah Zarah Gilui Reis Shefach Damim is Chilul Hashem. But what's the flip side of Chilul Hashem? When you do give up your life, what does that do? That creates a Kiddush Hashem. Meaning, and this is, it's an unbelievable Hashkafic issue, when someone gives up their life for their Judaism, to avoid Avodah Zarah, to avoid Gilui Reis, to avoid Shefach Damim, is that unfortunate? Or is it heroic? Is it something that we're proud of? Look what a great statement that was, and it's worth his life because of that great statement that he just made? The great Kiddush Hashem that he made? Or do we say, no, the world would be a better place had that never happened. It was a terrible predicament, and he had to go through it. So we're used to thinking both. But maybe that's the Machlokes Ramban Baal Amor. The Ramban will say, terrible, terrible thing to happen, avoid it at all costs. Baal Amor would say, no, that's a Kiddush Hashem. And Kiddush Hashem is always priority number one. There may be another couple of nafka minas in this Machlokes. We'll give a quick one since we're running up against Marav over here. There is a sheet of Rabbi Shmuel in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Zayin. Rabbi Shmuel holds that if a person is faced with the choice of doing Avodah Zarah Bitsina privately or getting killed, he's allowed to do Avodah Zarah Bitsina rather than get killed. He's allowed to do Avodah Zarah. It's a Shita Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that he's allowed to do we don't pass in this way obviously, but he's allowed to do Avodah Zarah Bitsina rather than getting killed. Now, what does that tell you? If the reason Avodah Zarah is Yahrig Val Yavar is that it's such a Chomer Isser, is it any less of an issue when you do it privately? It's the same issue when you do it privately and you do it publicly. So what does that tell you? At least in the mind of Rabbi Shmuel, what is it about Avodah Zarah? It's not because it's such a chamor issue that makes it Yahrig Val Yavar. It's because of Chilul Hashem. And when you do it Pitzina, it's a little bit less of a Chilul Hashem. And therefore it's no longer Yahrig Val Yavar. What about Shvichus Dam and Gilui Reis? He doesn't say. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't say. Machlokas Achronim, what he would say. Machlokas Rishonim, actually. What would he say? Would he say that, well, whatever is true of Avodah Zarah is also true of Shvichus Damim and Gilui Reis?
There's another person there.
Ah, so Shvichus Damim in particular, so if what makes Shvichus Dam Yehareg Val Yavar is the Chomer Isser, that it's such a terrible thing to do. Well, then when I do it, but sin is still such a terrible thing to do. Still, same tragic result, the other guy's dead. But if it's not about the Chomer Isser, it's not about that I care so much whether the other guy's dead or not. It's more about the Chil Hashem. Well, then maybe there's a chilik between Farhasiyah and Sina. So it's most mistaver that the whole svara of Shvichus Dam is like the Gemara says, my chaz damid dachsum utzvei, who told you your blood is redder than his, that it's really about the Chomer Isser, that it's not about Chil Hashem. And that Rabbi Shmuel is limited to Avodah Zarah. But Tosa says Beferish not that way. Tosa says that Rabbi Shmuel would say the same thing about Gidei Reis and Shvichus Dam as well. Okay, there are other enough communities in this Machlokas. That happens to be a fascinating Machlokas, but let's stop there.